teaching things like the Hermetic theory, which teaches that one of Moses' sons was black and one of them was white and one of them was, Oriental or red man of some sort.
Right.
And they tell you that's where the races started. You see? And when you start getting stuff like that, then you got to start.
Because that doesn't make any sense. How
but that's what they teach. That's what most of your
right,
church
because teach. They really don't teach that there were black people in the Bible. They don't
don't go as far as to say there weren't black people, but they, let's say they just kind of switched the race around. They can't deny that there were black people in the Bible. They don't even try to deny that. But what they will say is that the children, what they have changed basically is they've taken the children of Israel and made them of the Caucasian race, which from the Bible itself does not even make sense. If Adam was a man of color, then what color was his children? They would be people of color, right?
Right.
Okay, now you go their children and their children 10 generations, and guess what? You're in Noah. Noah has 3 sons. How, you know, then what color is his kids going to be?
Right, because everybody, it goes down the line.
It goes right on down the line. I mean, you know,
I'm not doubting it. It makes sense. I mean, it is confirming some things.
You know why it makes
sense? I want to be able to prove it
to myself. It makes
sense
because it's the truth. The truth always makes sense. It's the false things that they have to try to verify, but when you use your God-given mind and ability, truth is always going to make sense.
Right.
It's through the miseducation. That's where our problem is, and we've been miseducated from first day of kindergarten. And before that, with Santa Claus and the whole deal. And then the church continue it, the churches continue it, the schools continue it,
right.
Your parents continue it, and, you know, you're just miseducated the whole time.
And the person is not going to go beyond what they've been taught. I mean,
right.
If somebody
taught
you.
Stand on what you've been taught. You believe it because you've been taught it,
right.
And you stand on that.
And you stand. You ain't got no choice. That's all you
right.
know.
Right. So now I'm learning something new.
Right.
And I have a lot of questions because in order for me, just like if I could stand on speaking about Yahweh, Elohim, it's because I've studied them, it's because I believe them, and I believe the Word of God. Now I'm learning something that I need to know it just as good as I knew that, because I need to be able to say, okay, I believe that all black people came in the Bible. They were black people that in the Bible. I believe that. And the reason why I believe that is because, and I can say, okay, they lived in this country and in this time and age, this is the type of people, the culture that was there. And I need to be able to say that. You know, I've been studying about Moses and Israel and studying about everything in the Bible, biblically, not culturally. Nothing culture. Like the school that I went to, we didn't do anything about culture other than Hebrews, you know, in the Bible and what went on with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and all the, you know, the biblical side of it. So this, for me to learn about all the black people that were in the Bible and how it all came about and how do I know that they really were black, this is all new to me. So I'm seeking. I want to know the truth because I stand on what I believe. And like I said, when I started out, I believed the Bible was, the word was not changed. This was the actual, you know, word of God that was passed down. I stood on the scriptures. I believe in the scriptures. I speak them. I use them, you know, through my life. So now I'm learning something else, and I'm saying, okay, that's adding to what I've already learned, but this is so different, and I want to learn it. I know there's truth in it.
The question that you asked in the beginning, who wrote the Bible, right?
Right.
Who was the Bible written to? Who was the Bible written for? Who was the Bible written about?
Right.
Is everything you just said. That's why I asked those questions, to see how much you know or don't know so that we can fill in the blanks.
Okay.
So you see why the question was asked?
Yes.
And you see what type of answers we wanted.
Yes.
And then you can, then like you said, when somebody asks you, because I remember Bobby, remember when you were first studying and stuff, and you would get, you know, your nieces and all these people. They would ask you a bunch of questions. How you know that? These are the same questions that Catherine and everybody else that's going to be in classes are going to be faced with.
Yes.
And so we just want you to be able to stand, you know, be able to make sure you understand what the scriptures say, so you can say, well, according to verse so-and-so, according to this, Ham was, you know, he had a son named Cush, he had a son named Havilah. And we see the first rivers named after Havilah. So he had to be a Cushite. So they had to be under the Ethiopian Empire, which is clearly Ethiopia today, Africans.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's those trends of thoughts and understanding all the people in the Bible and who they are and how they relate, so that you can intelligently say, well, Moses wrote the Bible, or, I mean, wrote the first five books,
right.
And Isaiah wrote Isaiah. Who was he writing to? Who is Isaiah?
Right.
So that you can tell them who's writing the Bible, because you know who these characters are.
Well, see,
and then
when,
who were they writing to? Were they writing to Europeans? Were they writing to Americans? Were they writing to Africans? Were they writing to Hebrews? Who were they writing to? Chinese, Indian, you know, Australian?
Well, when I study the Bible and I'm asked those questions, I'm able to research it, and I go in and I find out who wrote the first five books of the Bible, what culture was going on in that time. But I learn that through my resource. Like, I have resources to go to, you know, my Vine's dictionary, my concordance, I have books that I can go to that tells me who, you know, who wrote the book of Hebrews, who wrote the book of Matthews, you know, that's where I get my information, through the resources. But I'm like, with this, I don't know where to go. That's why I'm asking, how do I find, like, you're telling me now, you're teaching me, you're telling me,
mm-hmm.
okay, when you want to find out if this person was black, you don't only go by one thing. You look at the different names, you research the names, you follow up. You know, that's what I need to learn, how to be able to, like you just showed me, which I can use now when I read Genesis 2:11, 2:13, and I see Havilah, I can go to the geographical map and I can find Havilah. But I also
Ho! If you go to a geographical map that's written by Europeans, you won't usually find Havilah. And
not
if you
by
find
Europeans,
it,
not by Europeans,
yeah,
because
that's
you're
the key.
Already teaching me. See, I'm realizing that as I'm learning, I have to separate what I've learned from what I'm learning now, so I don't get confused. So I know that when you're teaching me, I do need to use the material that you're giving me, which is the maps that's in the book. So it's just like when I'm sharing something with you, you say, is that the European way or is that the truth? You know, so then I have to rethink, okay, I'm coming from a European way, because that's all I know. That's
mm-hmm.
all I know. Until I can get this education that I'm learning now in my mind, it's like pushing something out and bringing something new in. It's going to be like that, because I'm open to learn a new way. I want to learn. This is why I'm asking the questions, because I want to be able to explain it. I want to, you know, I don't believe in something that I can't say that I believe in myself. Like I know what it is. It's grounded in me, you know. So
okay.
That's why I need to be able to find the resources, know where to go to find. And you did explain to me, and the brother did explain to me, don't just look at the scripture as it is. You got to do a word study, break it down, do a search.
Okay, just use that scripture that that was quoted. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You read some of that, is that right?
Yeah.
Bobby read some of that?
Yes, he did.
Okay, Bobby, you still there? Don't sound like he had to go. No problem.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I'm still here. I just
you're still there. Okay, good. Just
I had people
sure.
in the house, and I didn't want to disrupt.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, so when we go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're looking at the first river.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me let you read that out to us, and we want to cross-examine that whole scripture, 10 through 12, so that you can look at every verse and come to conclusions with them. Now, most of this is on page 24 in your book, just so that you know.
Okay.
So if you want to correlate with
Genesis
your book, you can tie it together.
Chapter
2, verses 10 through 12, because that's going to explain the first river and about the four rivers. That's how it opens.
Okay, chapter 2.
Like I said, it's on page 24 in your book.
Page 24. Okay. Okay, Genesis 2:10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Genesis 11, the name of the first is Pison, that it was which compassed whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Genesis 2:12, and the gold of the land is good. There is Bilibin and Oxen Stone. I read it to 12.
Okay, now, it's letting you know that there's how many rivers that's leaving the garden, or that's going to come out of one? Four, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you the name of the first one is?
The name of the first river was Pison.
Okay. Some pronounce it Pison, some pronounce it Pison.
Pison, okay.
Okay, I mean, either way, that's fine. Okay, now, the river Pison, we don't have today. We don't have one called that name, at least, that we know of. Then we have to go to the second thing, the second evidence that is listed in that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next evidence?
It's Havilah.
Okay, and it surrounds the whole land of Havilah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the next question is, how would you know where the land of Havilah is located?
I would have to use the people of color map.
Okay, that's one way. But how did we come up with the location
of
Havilah?
That's what I want to know. Right.
Because that's the same analogy you have to use.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so the obvious question is you have to now turn to Psalms 49, verse 11. And it's going to tell you how people name the lands. So you're not taking Emmanuel's word for any of this.
Okay. I appreciate that. Okay.
And you're not using Emmanuel's maps for any of this.
Okay, I'm not. Okay. Okay, Psalms
49, verse 11.
49, okay.
Because your question is, who is Havilah? I mean, where is this land of Havilah, and how did Havilah get its name?
Mm-hmm.
That's really your question, because once you can find Havilah, then you know where what? The river is, because it surrounds it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the logic that you're using. You're just doing basic analysis.
Okay. And I have 49:11.
Okay, read that for us.
Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their land after their own names.
Okay, so how did people in the ancient world name the lands?
After their own names.
Okay, do you have any examples of how people were doing that in the past and in the present? And do we still follow that tradition?
Do we still call the land by people's names?
And have we? And we know the Bible says they did. Now we just want to pick some examples of present day and past, so we can see it for ourselves. And so when you explain it to somebody else, they can say yay or nay.
Like St. Thomas.
Right.
Okay. Who was that named after?
St. Thomas.
Yeah, the island St. Thomas. I assume you're talking about.
Yes. And who was it named after?
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a priest or something, but I'm not sure.
I mean, I think what he's trying to get you to see was named after St. Thomas. Or Thomas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That they call the saint. So the point that he's trying to make to you is that it's named after somebody's name.
Okay.
Okay. The city of Baltimore was named after.
Somebody named Baltimore?
Exactly. Lord Baltimore.
A lord. He was a lord.
Lord Baltimore. The city of, let's see, another one we come up with. Let's see. Charlotte. Is Charlotte? Who's Charlotte named after?
Oh, Charlotte. See, I didn't know that Charlotte was a person.
Yeah, most definitely. If I'm not mistaken, it's Queen Charlotte, wasn't it, Emmanuel?
Well, I don't know much about Charlotte.
I think Queen Charlotte, but it's usually named after some royalty or something. I mean, and we're still doing it today. Every major black city got MLK. What is that?
Okay.
Martin Luther King. What? Boulevard. So we're still doing that. We still name streets and lands and.
Well, this is something I'm learning. This is something new to me. I didn't know land was named after people.
People or places sometimes. But yeah.
Well, think about it. You live in New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what cities? What states surround your state?
Like Fairview.
States.
What state?
Yeah. Uh huh. What states surround
Reed.
Your state?
Let's see. Delaware.
New York would be one.
Trenton.
New
York.
Cities. Those are cities. He said states. Those are cities.
Oh, what states is next to us?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, Valerie's on. We got one more person. Valerie, we just read Psalms 49, verse 11, and we were trying, they said that they named the lands after themselves. And so what we were trying to do was try to find out, do we today name lands after ourselves just as they did in the biblical days? And we were trying to pick some examples.
Okay.
So that you can be on board with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what states, now what state are you in, Valerie?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Now, everybody, Kathleen and Valerie, was Pennsylvania named after somebody?
I'm not good with American history, but I have a feeling it does, based on some things. Is it William Penn?
Perfect.
That's who it was named after.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're going to be surprised. You'll be surprised.
Named after William Penn.
Mm-hmm. There you go. What other states surround Maryland and New Jersey?
Virginia.
Okay. Who was Virginia named after?
Now, that one I don't know.
Well, we know somebody named Virginia, don't we?
My grandma named Virginia.
Well, remember. Okay, now think about it. Remember, when they came over, they were taking over the land. Who was taking over the land? The French.
Virginia?
All this land in America when they first came over, the Pilgrims and all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Those were, you know, Great Britain and all them guys. And then you had a queen that was called Queen who?
Victoria.
Thank you, Queen Victoria. So you know they're naming the land after, guess who? The queen.
Oh, so that's Queen Victoria's name, Virginia?
Yeah, that's what they used it as, yes. Nice. Then what about Maryland?
That's Maryland.
And who was Mary that she can get a land?
Mary.
Queen Mary?
Oh, the Queen Mary.
See, y'all making this thing harder than y'all think.
I never even imagined people were, that land was actually named after people. I don't know where I thought they got names from. I just never.
Hey, man, you know me. I look up stuff on the computer all the time. And someone asked here, who is Virginia named after? Somebody said, best answer, Virginia, and thus West Virginia, was named for Elizabeth I, the Virgin Queen of England, while Maryland is named for Queen Henrietta Maria, who was the King Charles's, was wife of King Charles I of England. I just got that off the internet.
Okay, cool. I mean, so if you go anywhere up and down the places, you will find that. But notice it's a script. This is not nothing new. This is ancient teachings. Because we read it in the Bible, in Psalms 49, verse 11.
There's some people that say that the word Africa comes from a man named Leo Africanus. I have to do the research on that, but I've heard that more than once.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Who was not an African, by the way.
He wasn't.
You better
African.
Believe that. No.
He was not
they
an
were
Af-
naming after black people.
But they named him, they named it Africa after European named Leo Africanus.
So Africa is really not a black name then?
It's not a black name, no.
But it's a black place.
See,
but the land names will change, you know. If your house is a certain location, we can change the name all day long. We can change the neighborhood all day long. Is it change the name of the place? I mean, is it going to change the land?
Well, black people in America and in Caribbean island do not have their original name anyway.
Exactly. That's the point. One of the points.
The name after our slave masters.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Most of us are named after our slave masters.
Most or all of us?
Not all,
all
of us.
All of us.
If you've ever
Once we get smart, then we start renaming our children. Now, man, we ain't giving you no slavery.
Well, I mean, when you look at people like Malcolm X, when he realized that, he said, well, I'm not carrying anybody's name. I don't know what my original name was, so I'll just call myself X.
Well, the only person right now who have their original name in America who is an American born, I'm not sure if he was born in America. Maybe he's the president.
Well, America.
First man to go in the house with an African name.
America, I mean, like, when you start talking about America, was America originally America?
I mean black people. I don't mean other people. I mean for a black man with his original, with his father's name.
Yeah, well, we took the names of the slave masters. The slave masters changed our names, and they gave us the names that they wanted us to have, which a lot of times was his family name. I found that when you get names like Wilson, Williamson, Johnson, Thomason, all those son names, they were named basically after their slave master. So if you got like a Johnson, you know, then his slave master was probably named John. And then they call him, he was John's son. But they would say it so fast, it'd be like, Mr. Johnson, come here, boy. You see? And so they just named him Johnson. And so we would pronounce it today, we say Mr. Johnson or Mr. Thompson or Mr. Tom's son. You follow what I'm saying? Mr. Williams' son. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Hello?
Well, I mean, I hope all of us have seen the movie Roots.
Yeah,
and they told you how they whipped your name out of you.
Right.
I read a book on that.
They made you take the name that they gave you. In the Roots, you know, the man's name, you know, he was trying to keep...
Kute Kente.
Yeah, he said, my name is Kute Kente. He said, no, your name Toby. And he said, no, my name is Kute Kente. He said, your name is Toby. So, you know, they were going to make him change his name. And so what did they do? They strapped him up to a post and beat him until he said, my name is Toby. Mm-hmm. And so after a while, after generation after generation after generation, unless the parents or, you know, the people themselves pass the name down to the next generation, it didn't take but one generation not to give the name, and the next generation would not know what their family name was.
Right.
You see? And so you had a lot of that happened, and so you don't know what their name was. So whatever name they gave you, that's what your name was.
It's a form of cutting out people's identity, and until now people cannot identify themselves properly. If you're going to base on name, you have to just know who you are, to be able to identify. It's hard to identify. It's like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Exactly.
They tried to change their name to the names of their gods. It was to cut out their identity, their culture, what they know about their true God. It was to change them completely, and that's what happened to the black race. It was to change who you are, that even in school you would even hate yourself and love the other person more than yourself.
Exactly.
Because you were inferior, according to how you were taught.
That is exactly true. And any time you had war and one nation defeated another nation, they'd go in there and capture the people that were left and give them a new identity and put them to work.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has really changed with that.
Mm-mm. It's still going on. The chain might not be there, but the chain of the mind is there.
Still there.
Yep, so we just got to keep those things in mind. Okay, so now that we know that people name the lands after themselves, we see that today. What about in the ancient world? Do you know any biblical land masses that were named after people?
You talking to everybody or are you just talking to them?
Well, I'm trying to get the new ones because I know you and I, we've been through this.
Okay.
I'm giving them a chance to
think about
to think. Yep. Make them, coordinate.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I'm thinking of Egypt, and I'm thinking of Dan. I think there was a land called Dan that was named after
yes.
the Dan tribe.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
yep, the Dan
one.
Of the tribe. Mm-hmm.
Dan of the tribe of Dan, who was a literal son. And they passed the name down to the children. I mean, it's just like today. If Emmanuel's last name is Emmanuel, he have a son. What's his last name? Or a daughter. What would their last name be? Emmanuel, right?
Emmanuel.
Yeah. And if the woman marries somebody else and she takes his name, whatever his name may be, still same thing going on. So
okay,
by the time you go through that about 100 generations, anybody could be named anything, right?
Uh-huh.
If you started out with one name
true.
And she was a girl and she married a guy and now she got his name. Then they have a son and he got the father's name and you follow what I'm saying? He married
a
daughter, and the daughter married somebody else. Now she got another name. So that's why when you get to a family reunion, and they say, well, whose family reunion is it? They say, oh, it's the Scotts and the Williams and the Baileys. Because all of them are related by name, by marriage.
Not only that. There's conflict and confusion, too. It causes conflict and confusion in marriages because sometimes two people could have the same name and think they are relative and they are not as well as they could be.
Well, that's true. I mean, you got, and that goes back again to the slave master. If he had 100 slaves and he named all of them Williams or Williamson, then you got what? You got 100 tribes of Williamson according to the name that he gave them.
Or his brother.
Oh, exactly.
Who has the same name.
Exactly.
There could be two different tribe of slaves there.
There you
but
go.
But one is owned by a different brother, comes with the same
but the
name.
The slaves themselves were probably related in the first place.
So, Kosa.
it causes
a lot of confusion there.
Okay, now I need you all to give me some more names that were in Scripture, landmasses that were named after people.
Kush, right?
Kush. Hey, perfect. I mean, hey, that, hey, couldn't beat that one.
Kush, yes.
Yes. Okay, so y'all are catching on and catching the picture of what's actually going on. How about the land of Canaan?
Canaan, yes, because there was a man named Canaan.
That's right, and they were called the Canaanites, all his descendants.
So they were called Canaanites. And Ishmael, no, I don't think there's any land that was named Ishmael.
Did you say
there is
Nimrod?
Called the land of Nimrod. There is a land that's basically what
Nimrod.
We call the Middle East. And there was also the land of Ham. Now,
I
let me ask you a question.
Ham.
The land of Ham, what would that mean? Who would you expect to find in the land of Ham?
I think
what,
it would be
what,
black
what type
people.
Of people?
Black people.
Yeah, but what names? Give me some names.
Ethiopians?
Ethiopians, yes. Why? See, I want you to, when you say something, I want you to be able to explain it because that's what we're here for. And you got to be able to use scripture to explain it because that's what you're going to be explaining
yeah,
to people.
Yeah, I think it's fair you give them a little clue. And what do I mean?
No, wait. I'll give them a clue after they can talk. You don't know how much. I don't know how much they know.
I think of the Tower of Babel. And I think it was Ham generation that started to make that Tower of Babel there. And I think Babel may be somewhere in Ethiopia. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Okay, no, it's not in Ethiopia, but that is correct. Ethiopia would be one of the lands of Ham. And like you said, where the Tower of Babel was, which we call Babylon, that would be part of the land of Ham. What else?
Yeah.
What other land masses?
What other land that's in the land of Kush?
Yeah, land masses. But I want to backtrack before we hit that. You said Kush. Why is Kush in the land of Ham? And there's a thinking behind it. I'm trying to follow your thought pattern.
Why is Kush in the land of Ham?
Right.
Why is it?
Because you said it.
It was named after.
It was named after Kush, who was the son of who?
Ham.
So you would expect all the children of Ham, whoever's land they are, would be the land of Ham, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the thinking. That's what I'm trying to get y'all to think
and
analyze.
What's your last name, huh?
Which one?
What's your last name?
My last name's Lawrence.
Okay, so let's say you had a big family and you all had a lot of land. They probably would call it Norrisville.
Lawrencedale?
You said your last name is Norris?
Lawrence, L-A-W.
Lawrence.
Okay,
well then they probably would call it Lawrenceville.
And there are lands that are called Lawrenceville.
Okay, so then your land would be called, let's say you had acres and acres of land, we'd call it Lawrenceville, okay? Because that's your name, right?
Right.
Now, if you had kids, and let's say you gave this one 10 acres, I mean, you know, a portion of land, and you gave that one a portion of land, you gave that one a portion of land, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll say one was named Tom, and within your land, which we said was named what?
Lawrenceville.
Then let's say you gave your son a portion of land, and he called his, let's say his name was Jackson. He called his Jacksonville. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay, I see.
Okay, now where would Jacksonville be? Inside of what?
Florida.
It'd be inside of Lawrenceville, right?
Oh. Jacksonville, sorry.
Right? Wouldn't it be inside of Lawrenceville? Lawrenceville is the whole thing, right?
So everything would be Ville?
Well, I'm just using Ville as a, they call it Villa.
But you're saying that's how it would go? Like everything
Ville,
would be
Villa
going
or
Lawrence.
The town of, or, you know. We're just talking about how these places get names. You know, there's a lot of Villes out there.
Right.
I got a sister-in-law that lives in Clarksville. Well, obviously it was named after some people that were named Clarks.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense?
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm from Clarksville.
In other words, they're named after people. But what he was trying to show is that you have lands, or, you know, you have places inside of places.
Yeah.
Just like inside the United States of America, you got 50 states, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And inside of those 50 states, you may have 100 cities. But it's all the same land. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So you say, well, where do you live? You say, well, I live in the United States. Well, where in the United States do you live? Well, I live in Maryland. Well, what part of Maryland do you live in? I live in Baltimore. Well, what county do you live in? You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're talking about the same land. It's just been broken up into so many subsections.
Did you plug it in?
Where one is smaller and bigger than bigger than bigger.
Okay.
And then they start, you know, and where we are today, you may live in a city, and you got to pay a city tax, and then that city is in a county, then you got to pay a county tax, and then that county is in a state, and you got to pay a state tax, and that state is within the United States, and you got to pay a federal tax.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of taxes going on.
Well, and that you pay them. You work, you pay them. So
but
again,
you don't think about it. You don't think about it like
on
that.
The same, on the same land. It's just a different section of the same land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You live there, you pay the tax. You lived in that city, you pay the tax for that city. Then that city is in a certain county, and you paid the county tax. And that county is in a state, and you paid the state tax. And that state is within the Union of the United States. And they say, well, that's a federal tax.
I've heard of county. I've heard of state tax. I've heard of federal tax. But I never heard of county tax.
What county do you live in?
Camden County.
They don't have a county. They don't have a county tax like Montgomery County, Maryland, or something like that.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, well, maybe
I think
do.
The county tax will relate to your school tax.
Yeah.
They
do.
Oh, okay.
You pay
do
school tax?
They do,
yeah, they take it out
when you work out of the city into those area, they do charge you tax for that.
Yeah.
Like how I live, if I live in Philadelphia and I happen to work in Montgomery County.
If you buy a house, you pay tax on your house, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm not mistaken, that's a county tax. I might be wrong on that. I could be wrong on that, but I think
so they take it out of your mortgage.
I mean, your housing tax may be paid to your county. I'm not sure.
Do they take it out? You saying they take it out of your mortgage?
Well, yeah, you got to
pay it.
You may own the house, but you don't own the land.
Why not?
Well,
you don't own nothing. You don't know that yet, America.
You really don't own anything. But
if you don't pay them taxes, you'll own nothing.
If you don't pay the taxes on something, what they do?
Take it back.
Okay, so have you ever paid it off? Can you pay off?
Yeah,
taxes?
I'm still paying on my house.
But I'm talking about the land, the taxes. Can you pay it off? Even if you pay the house,
you can never pay your tax because you still once you get your deed and you done paid off your house, you still have to pay taxes.
So who owned the land?
If you don't pay them taxes, they do.
Well, if you pay the taxes, they do. That's why you got to pay the taxes because they own it. That's the reason that you have to pay the taxes because you don't own it. They said you have a house that's on this property. This property belongs to the state or the county or whoever, and you must pay us every year to keep that house on this property.
Hmm.
You own that land. If you owned it, you would have to pay yourself.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it'll make sense if they do the work on it when it's problems, if they own it.
Well, they say they do. They might, you know.
They don't own it when it's problems. They own it when it's getting money from
well,
them.
Well, now you're going into a whole other subject. You're talking about corruption within the system now. And
okay,
so
now let's get back to the land of
okay.
Ham. And this is Psalms 49, verse 11.
Well, I think you get the idea that I was trying to bring across.
I do. Thank you.
Okay, so now we know the land of Canaan is under the land of Ham. The land of who are the sons of Ham? That's basically the first question. If you don't know that, then you can't answer the question.
Noah's son.
When I say clue, that's what
okay.
I was talking about.
So, yeah, okay. My question is, who we know Ham is the son of Noah, but now we want to know who is the son, who are Ham's sons.
That's what
I'm trying
to remember. Canaan. Okay, Canaan is one of them. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, y'all can use your book, you know.
You can use your Bible.
That's what I'm doing.
You can use your book. All that stuff is in here.
You think I know all this stuff? I'm learning.
You can use your Bible. It tells you have sons in the Bible.
All I'm saying is look inside your book, and you'll see charts. And the charts will tell you who had who and whose children who and all of that good stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm on the page
that
had it.
Right.
Genesis,
page 50.
10, chapter 6.
You don't have a book.
Genesis 10, chapter 6.
Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. What does that say?
Genesis 10:6.
Now, we know you don't memorize all this stuff, you know,
no, you're not.
Unless you've been doing it in a while. But my point was, I want you to be able to use your scripture, use your books, because so when you're discussing with people, you can, you know, you can talk intelligently from scripture.
Yes.
I gave them this one right here.
Oh, I see it, right, 6:10. And
no,
Noah 10, begot
10:6. Not 6:10.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Chapter 10, verse 6.
Oh, 10:6.
There you go.
10:6. Okay.
What does that say?
It says, and the son of Ham, Cush.
Sons, plural.
Okay, son of Ham, plural.
Sons, plural. He had more than one.
Oh, the sons of Ham.
There you go.
Okay. The sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizra,
mm-hmm.
and Phut, and Canaan.
There you go. And
those were
sons,
all his sons.
And then
four.
The sons of Cush, and the, you see? Who were the sons
so
of
now,
Cush?
So now the question is, what are the lands of Ham?
What are the lands? The lands of Ham?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, what lands would you expect to find in the land of Ham?
Well, from this map
here. Well, you already told me Cush, right?
Mm-hmm.
The land of Cush. Okay,
Cush.
That's one. What other lands?
Oh, his sons. His
exactly.
Okay, tell me who they are.
Canaan,
you got to give me names.
Cush.
Huh? Okay, but you got to know who their names and how they relate. Okay, Cush, there is a land called the land of Cush.
There's a land
that's everything south
Cush.
Of Egypt.
And there's a land called Canaan in Ethiopia.
Okay, the land of Canaan, which is the promised land, right? That's what
mm-hmm.
the Bible says. We're giving you the milk of... Now there's two tricks. There's one called Mizraim and Put. There's no lands basically today called by those names.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know Libya, it refers to Put, and what we call today Egypt refers to Mizraim.
Oh, so Put is Libya?
Mm-hmm. And Mizraim is who?
Egypt.
There you go.
There you
Egypt.
Go. Okay. It's not hard.
Now,
okay.
I got to throw this in here.
Well, before you throw that in, if you turn to page 50 in your book, it tells you all of that right there in the chart. Just wanted to make sure you see, because we had to break down who referred to what.
Okay.
Okay? Okay. So now go ahead, Bobby.
No, I was going to say that you remember when we were reading in Genesis 2 and it said that it encompasses the whole land of Ethiopia?
Yes.
Remember we read that text?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Emmanuel taught me that the word Ethiopia means Cush.
Oh. And where did you find that?
All that's documented in the book. It'll tell you what pages and tell you where, what references.
The word Ethiopia is a Greek word.
There you go.
The Greeks called it Ethiopia, but the original name was Cush.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I did read that.
Okay, there you go.
So, matter of fact, if you get the New King James Bible, in that text where it says the whole land of Ethiopia,
yep, that's
I
right.
I think
you're
in
right.
the New King James, it'll say the whole land of Cush.
Right. They use the original names.
They actually put it in that Bible.
In the New King James.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you'll find some of the other translations that they're using Kush instead of Ethiopia.
Yeah. And so, you know, all of this you can find right on the internet, because you can go to that Bible Gateway. They'll give you all the translations of different Bibles you want.
They need to have Bibles that could start calling Jesus by his other name, too.
Yeshua. Holy Names Bible.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeshua.
Yep, you got all of these different things. But now let's get back to our point. Okay, the point was we were going through Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 through 12,
mm-hmm.
and we were trying to identify each portion of that. So the key was we don't have a land, we don't have a water called Pison, but we saw that it surrounded the whole land of what?
The water?
Havilah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, y'all got to look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 through 12 to verify.
Genesis.
Okay, so it surrounds the whole land of Havilah. There is no land today called Havilah, so we had to find out where would Havilah be in the ancient world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we found out that Havilah's dad is who?
Genesis chapter 10, verse 7. There's your answer. Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. 7.
Chapter 10, verse 7, it says, and the son of Cush, Seba and Havilah.
Oh!
So it was...
You skipped right over there. Did you catch it?
The son of Cush.
Sons, plural.
The sons of Cush.
Right.
Seba.
Right.
And Havilah.
Ah! There he
and
is.
Sebastah.
Havilah.
Okay, so now we know that Havilah is of what race?
Cush.
Or of what lineage?
Ethiopian.
The Cushites, right?
The Cushites.
And they
why?
Did.
Why is he a Cushite?
I don't know.
Because
his
daddy is a what?
His daddy's a Cushite. See, he's making it sound real hard questions, but they're very easy questions.
So,
in other words...
He's just like an Emmanuelite. My children are Emmanuelites, right?
Okay.
And your children are, you know, whatever. And Bobby's children is a Wilsonite.
What did you say your last name was again?
Lawrence? Yes.
Do you have children?
No.
Okay. If you had children, what would be their last name?
Lawrence Ikes.
Okay. There you go. They would be... Little Lawrence is running around.
So, it's not, these aren't really complicated questions, but they are questions to make you think when you're reading Scripture.
Okay.
It's telling you a whole lot in it and a lot you don't know, but it's sitting there right in front of you telling you a whole lot of things. So now we're trying to get us to put one and one together to come up with two.
Okay.
Who are the Israelites named after?
I didn't hear that question. Can you repeat yourself?
The question is, who are the Israelites named after?
Jacob.
Whose name was changed to?
Israel.
There you go.
And so they make them Israelites.
The children of Jacob are the children of Israel, because that's what his name was changed to. And his 12 sons, which he had, became the children of Israel, or Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
The land is named after people.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
we're trying to find out who this Havilah is, so we know who Havilah is now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who is Havilah?
Havilah is related to Cush.
What race is he? What race is he?
He's in the land of Cush, so he's Ethiopian.
Okay.
And where did that word come?
You're making it match. You're making it pull together. That's cool.
Because the word Ethiopia is what? Cush.
Cush.
When you see the word Ethiopia, that's Cush.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so now we know that since Havilah was a son of Cush, so that means he had to his land, wherever his land was, the land of Havilah, had to be under whose empire?
Who was his granddaddy? Who was Havilah's granddaddy?
Kush.
Who was Cush's daddy?
Ham.
Okay.
Okay,
not
so if you say the land of Ham, okay, if it's the land of Ham and his son is named Cush, then what? Where was the land of the Cushites? Under the land of who?
Ham.
Yep, that's
so
it.
So now Cush got a son. His name is Havilah. And the Bible talks about what we just read in Genesis, the land of Havilah.
Ah.
See, it's coming now.
I got it now.
I know it. I know it. I know you was going to get it. We just had to put it in the right term. Okay. So you got the land of Ham. He got a son named Cush. His mm-hmm. land is called the land of Cush, which the Greeks changed to Ethiopia. And that's where you got the word Ethiopia. He got a son. His land is the hand of Havilah. So Havilah is in Cush, and Cush is in Ham.
So you would expect to find the land of Havilah under the Ethiopian Empire, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So now you need to know how large was the Ethiopian Empire so that you can know it's going to fit where? Boom. Right in it. And so we know where Ethiopia is today, right?
It's in Africa.
Yeah, it still exists.
Mm-hmm.
At least
okay.
It's still in Africa. When they get through with it, it's going to be in the Middle East. But it is in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, at the moment.
When them boys get through, it ain't going to be in Africa no more.
That's right. So we know, and now you know that it's somewhere on the continent near Ethiopia is Havilah. And so now you can look at our book and see the map, and then you'll see it there. So that's what we were trying to say. You have to be able to use scripture to see where we're coming from and what the Bible is saying. So to find a people, you need to know what time frame we're talking about and what location they are on the planet to determine who these people are that's living at that time in that location.
Yes.
And so that's how you know that Havilah or the land of Havilah or Pison was where? Somewhere in Africa. Because it surrounded the whole land of who? Havilah. And Havilah is everything, and Cush is everything south of, guess what? Egypt. That's how the Greeks named it. Basically, burnt-faced people. So everything south of Egypt was called the land of Cush.
And his reference to burnt-faced people is what the Egyptians called the Africans. They called them burnt.
Not the Egyptians, the Greeks.
I mean the Greeks. What the Greeks mm-hmm. called them, they called them burnt-faced people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in
so
our
hope.
Time, they call us black people or Negroes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now we call ourselves African-Americans.
Well, that's mm-hmm. old now.
The names keep changing, you
they
know.
They just say black.
Hey.
Well, who's
but you're right. That's a perfect example of changing of names.
It's
so
not us changing the names, though. They change the names.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we refer to whatever they called us. I mean, we've been Negroes, we've been African Americans, we've been blacks, we've been, you know.
Colored.
We've been colored.
There you go. Colored people. People
yep,
of color.
We're a little bit of everything.
Yeah. But we're the same people. As my friend used to say, same man. Same man by a different name.
Yes, somebody has decided that they have the power to do that, and we have to obey.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And we obey, because
uh-huh.
we don't say, yeah, yeah, you don't tell me who I am. You say, yes, master. Anything else?
To the point where we lost our true identity.
And that's what we're trying to refine and redefine.
To gain it back.
Yeah, there you
go. Is that not what happened to the Israelites? Did the Israelites ever lose their identity?
Yeah.
Exactly.
All the time.
Exactly.
All the time. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We've been on around 45 minutes. I need to cut the tape. So we're going to get back. It's right now in 1:45. So let's get back around 3. Okay?
Around 3.
So
three
I can
o'clock.
Get a chance. Yeah. Yeah, because I got
hour.
2 o'clock your time. Because you're down in the south. You're an hour behind us.
So you're talking like next 15 minutes.
Yes, because I need to tape it and put it over there and, you know, clean it up and all that stuff.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, have a blessed day.
All right, thank you.